Have you ever been absolutely exhausted? Exhausted physically, exhausted mentally, exhausted emotionally, exhausted spiritually, so absolutely wiped out that you didn't know where your energy was going to come from, that you didn't know where your strength was going to come from, that you didn't know how you were going to make it through, not just from week to week or day to day, but even from minute to minute. You just don't know how you can keep going. It feels as though you are in the midst of the deepest, darkest night of your soul. Indeed, theologians in the church over the centuries have called these moments of utter, total, and complete depression as the dark nights of the soul. A time when you feel absolutely bereft of any kind of physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual strength. Totally robbed of any energy, totally robbed of any enthusiasm, totally lacking in any ability. And you wonder how you can take your next step, be it physical or your next thought or your next step in faith, especially in those times when not only do you feel no strength, not only when you feel as though everything has collapsed around you, even though you feel as though you are totally lost and totally alone and there is no one with you in those moments, especially when you feel as though, when it feels to you that God is not there. Those moments can be overwhelming. Those moments can be disastrous. They can leave us wondering, what can I possibly do? How can I possibly keep going? When there's no strength, no energy, no will, no power to keep going. In those dark nights of the soul, it's easy to think God is not there. It's easy to feel that God is not present. It is easy to believe that God is nowhere to be found. But in those moments when you think that, when you feel that, when you believe that, in those very moments, it is indeed a lie. For we have learned through Scripture, through tradition, through experience, through reason, we as Christians throughout the centuries have learned that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. God's love never ends. It is unconditional and always abiding. And even when you don't feel it, when you don't see it, when you don't experience it, it's nevertheless true that God is still with you. Even if your back is turned to God, it's nevertheless true that God is still with you. You may be wondering where is it going to come from? Where is the strength going to come from? Where is the ability going to come from? Where is the hope going to come from? Where is the will going to come from? Where is the joy going to come from?
Today in our reading,
the people were hungry. It was getting to be night. They had no food. They were there. They had followed Jesus. They wanted to be with him. They wanted him to heal them. He had been healing them. It was now night. They had nothing to eat. So they go to Jesus. The disciples go to Jesus and say, send the people home. We don't have anything to give them. Give them what you have, Jesus said. Well, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's barely enough for the 12. What are you talking about? Give it to 5,000 people plus.
There's not enough in 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 people. You couldn't even get a crumb for each person
before you'd run out. 5 loaves and 2 fish, my goodness. 1 loaf per 1,000? We barely have enough communing 100 people with 1 loaf, much less 1,000. And two fish, you get more fish than that, and the fish and more meal at Long John Silver's, Jesus. Come on. We can't feed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish. Give it to me and have him sit down. In the midst of the dark of the night, at the end of the day, when they had nothing, they had no strength, they had no food, they had no ability. In the midst of this moment when they were in utter despair and they told Jesus, send the people away, send them away, let them go buy food, let them go over to McDonald's, let them go over to the Burger King and buy their food, and that'll work. In that moment, Jesus said, give me what you have. Five loaves, two fish, give them here. And they give Jesus their meager supply. Now, this story is told in all four Gospels. It's told pretty much with the same basic details, although there are adjustments, there are perspective differences, there are different points of view. Nevertheless, it's the same story told in four different Gospels. Although the placement may be different, it's still the same story about the feeding of the same 5,000 with the same loaves and fish. And in all stories, they give Jesus the bread and the fish. He tells the people to have them sit down. And in a couple of the Gospels, they sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties. In Matthew's Gospel, he just says, have them sit down, so they sit down. And then he takes the bread. He takes it and he blesses it and he breaks it. In this very Jewish act of being the host at a meal, providing at the meal for the people, he takes the bread, he blesses it, and then he breaks it. That word of blessing, as we heard on Maundy Thursday, that prayer of blessing. Very ancient Hebrew prayer goes something like this: Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Hamotzei Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, for you have given bread from the earth. This ancient prayer of the Jewish people to be prayed at mealtime over bread, this blessing prayer has been prayed for over 2,000 years. These were the words that Jesus would have prayed, not only here, but also at the Last Supper, when he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has given bread from the earth to us. Powerful blessing, placing all that we have within God's gift. All that we have received is God's gift to us, even our meager supply. And he takes the bread, he takes the fish, he breaks it. Then what does he do? He gives these broken bread and fish to the disciples, to the 12 disciples, and has them give this meager supply to the people. Now, there's not enough food in this meager supply to feed 5,000, but they do it anyway. And something amazing happens. Something absolutely incredible happens. It says, and all ate and were filled. Now, sometimes we read through the scriptures and we skim past the passage and we just let the words kind of flop over us. We don't pay attention to them. Pay attention to these words. And all ate. Not some of them. All ate. Not just the disciples. All ate. And all ate. And were filled. And were filled. Say that with me. And were filled. And were filled. Not just a little bit, not just the crumb, not just a smidgen, not just the smell. And were filled. That means stuffed. That means like Thanksgiving meal when you push away from the table, fall on the floor, and they roll you into the living room to watch the game. That kind of filled. And were filled. Five loaves and two fish, 5,000 plus people. And were filled. And all were ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces. They took up what was left over of the broken pieces of the five loaves and two fish that they passed out to 5,000 plus people and were filled. And guess what? 12 baskets full were the leftovers. Huh?
Five loaves, two fish, 5,000 plus people.
Be nothing. Not even air. But 12 baskets full. Say that with me. 12 baskets full. Again, 12 baskets full. They all ate and were filled, and the leftovers filled 12 baskets. In other words, we bring our meager supply. The disciples brought their meager supply, five loaves and two fish, into this dark night where all was lacking. And Jesus takes the supply and blesses it and breaks it and gives it to the disciples to give to the people. And they all eat and are filled, and they take up the leftovers, and they've got 12 baskets full of leftovers. More leftovers than they began with. We also bring our meager supply, our pitiful strength, our tiny gifts, our weak hopes and dreams, our few pennies, our five loaves and two fish. We bring our meager supply to Jesus. Jesus blesses it, breaks it, and gives it back to us to give to the people. And the multiplication of God's grace, God's love, God's hope, God's peace, God's forgiveness is beyond our comprehension, to the point that there are more than 12 basketfuls of leftovers from our meager supply. That's what happens at communion. At the table of the Lord, we bring to the rail, we bring our heart. Some of us are in dark nights of the soul. We bring nothing. We come weak and in need of nourishment. We come weak and in need of the presence of God. We come weak and needing to know that God is with us, that we are not alone, and yet we don't feel God, we don't see God, we don't sense God. And yet in this moment we come with an open heart, willing to receive, and if we do, God has taken our meager supply, blessed it, broken it, and now gives it to us in this holy mystery, in which we feast on the riches of God's grace. This story found over in John's Gospel, this story of the feeding of the multitude found in John's Gospel, comes in chapter 6, at the beginning of chapter 6, which then goes on to talk about Jesus as the bread of heaven. Jesus said to the Jews, "You ate the manna, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. They ate the, what is it, bread, the strange miraculous bread that had rained down from heaven in the wilderness. You ate of this bread, they ate of this bread, they still died. You eat of me, you receive me, you feast on my grace, my love, my presence, and you will never die. I am the bread of heaven. I am the bread of life. Those who eat of me will never die." If you are in that dark night of the soul, if you are wondering where Jesus is, if you're aching for a relationship with the Creator of this universe, come and receive today the broken bread, the offered cup, the real presence of Jesus, and be fed beyond imagination. For God has taken our meager supply, blessed it, and broken it, and gives it back to us, so that we then can go out those doors and share it with the world. Come and receive, be filled, be fed, and then go forth to share with all the wonderful grace, love, and presence of Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me dwell in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of your word. By your grace upon grace, you set me free.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2016 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.